Scarpins Audio.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of View from the Cheap Seats. It's our chance to talk sports with our comedy friends or sports pundits or athletes or folks that who are experts in their fields. It's a real chance for us to dig into the current moment in sports, what's going on. We'll talk NFL draft today with our friend from Kansas City, Kyle Ayers,
great comedian, comic.
Huge sports fan, knows his Kansas City Chiefs, and definitely understands how a draft can help a team, and we talk about that today.
2017, the Kansas City Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes. He's $500 million richer several years later.
And it doesn't seem like a terrible investment at this point.
No, you say to yourself, how much will it cost? If your owner invested $500 million to be in two Super Bowls, win one of them, and have the potential every single year to make a deep run in the playoffs, your fan base would say, I'll take that.
That's worth it.
That is an investment that sounded crazy on paper, but now, so we'll get into that with Kyle Ayers. Plus, we'll talk a little baseball with the Kansas City Royals, and then we got some great quick hits.
And then at the end of the show, we got a voicemail from Hi Dick Vitale.
Hi Vitale, and we'll talk about it in our Patreon, if you want to join our Patreon, a story about statues in Baker Mayfield and why no one has statue sculptures never get it right.
They don't.
We'll talk about that, but first, our top take of the day, Mark Emmert of the NCAA.
Stepped away, quote unquote. I don't know. I would say
what
fired.
Sexual harassment thing is coming down his pike?
Look, he just got an extension last year for 5 years, and then he leaves.
Talk about failing upwards.
This mutually dude, agrees to leave. No, you were fired, bro.
You were fired. This guy's the absolute worst. He's like,
he's an LSU lackey.
Well, first of all, as we're on the precipice of the draft, and we're recording this on Thursday. The draft is tonight, but when this drops, the draft happened last night, the first and second rounds. Whenever Roger Goodell steps to the mic,
booed.
He gets booed.
Soundly booed.
Ceaselessly. It is hilarious because the guy is an awful human being, but the idea that, and he, a lot of people think he is not doing his job well, and he gets it. There is no... You don't get a chance to the fans tell Mark Emmert what he really is, and he's just a douchebag and he's awful.
So this is a great moment for the NCAA, I believe, because you know how they botch the transition to a new person, I can't
say. Who knows who they're going to put in there, and if they put in another guy who's basically Mark Emmert 2.0, I will be so upset. But you are literally standing in a moment where you could figure out a way to level the playing field, because as we stand on the moment of the draft, and again, you look at what the Cincinnati Bengals did being in last place 3 years ago and then making the Super Bowl all through the ability to draft players that can help build you over the course of a few years, Joe Burrow being one of them. You look at how broken college football is in the fact that, you know, players, the top players go to the top teams every, it'd be like if two teams drafted the top 25 players. And that's, there's a reason why Alabama's there every single year and Georgia's there every single year, because they're getting the best players. So if there's some way to level that out, and I feel like, and this is what we're going to talk about,
NIL is doing that.
Getting rid of Mark Emmert and maybe the
rise of NIL. Now, there are definitely going to be moments where people abuse NIL. You look at what's going on down in Miami.
The Nigel Pack scenario, where he was supposed to go to Purdue. He's a guard that left K-State, and he's really probably ranked one or two in terms of transfers in the transfer portal. Unbelievable point guard.
To get $400,000 a year for 3 years.
It was announced by this fictitious company or shell company called Life Wallet.
Yeah, Life Wallet.
You know Life Wallet.
Wallet for your life.
That no one has ever heard of in their entire lives. It sounds real.
Right.
It'd be like if you were like...
Is it LifeLock? No.
No, it's not LifeLock.
Nerd Wallet?
No.
We just combined two pieces of two other businesses.
It's
and
like
made up a fake
company. Company Industries is what Life Wallet
is. So that all of a sudden this guy gets $1.2 million.
So no, they announced Life Wallet. Before the kid announces that he's actually transferring to Miami, Life Wallet on Twitter tweets out, Miami got Nigel Pack. And this is just a lawyer from Miami who's a huge Hurricanes fan who decided to have this shell company called Life Wallet. And that is who paid Nigel Pack to come down there. Kudos to the kid for making $800,000. And by the way, Nigel Pack's the type of guy that would probably leave after next year.
Right.
And but he might now still, but he might play for 2 years.
So, but NIL in a obviously close to our, you know, in our world, Hunter Dickinson, a guy that probably would have left for in recent years, probably would have left to give it a shot. G League, make some money. He's back for his junior season. That's a big deal.
Oscar Tshiebwe, who at Kentucky, who is the national
player
of the year.
When was last coming back?
Not since Tyler Hansbrough has the National Player of the Year come back for another year.
So why is that better? Here's why.
Baycott down in North Carolina.
That's right.
Because these are all players that don't have what the NBA is really looking for right now.
But they're great for the college
game.
Great
for the game.
So now you got a marquee star in the SEC in Shuibue coming back. Mm-hmm. You got a marquee star who all teams love to hate. In the Big Ten, in Hunter Dickinson.
You got a marquee star in who
North Carolina, who led his team to the Final Four.
Baycott, who led him to the Final Four. Yeah, to the final game. So you've got a lot of guys who are literally like, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to play in the G League, make $400,000 or $500,000, and literally ride a bus and live in Fort Wayne, Indiana?
And have no one give a crap about who I am. Or
no one show up at my games and
stay in this equally more fun college town where all my drinks are paid for, where everyone's there to see me, where I walk into a party and everyone's psyched to have me.
I'm literally the biggest man on campus if you're Hunter Dickinson because you're 7'2".
Everyone knows you. Everyone wants to hang out with you. You are a star. You probably can go have as much fun as you want.
Selling that dream.
Plus money
to college kids who would have otherwise left in the last like 20 years. That's what we were seeing. Actually,
is getting kids to stay longer. So that's one good effect. The other good effect is that other schools who can offer good NIL packages are starting to get players. And listen to how much the Nick Sabans of the world are
complaining
about this.
Always. When they're complaining about it, that's when you know it's good.
That's when you're like, oh, the system was kind of rigged to help you before, and now it's not quite as much as it was before, and that's why you're going to bitch
about it. So the interesting thing is that Jay Wright, who was the coach of Villanova, quit. I mean, he left. He resigned. And I thought to myself, this guy has a potential, you know.
He was like 60 years old. Coach K was 75, so he had at least another decade or so.
I would say 10 more years to do what he's doing. And I think the prospect of having to recruit your own players who are already on your roster.
That's the transfer portal.
Transfer portal is that. So NIL is going to save you in terms of keeping guys in college, but they may not save it in terms of keeping guys on the same team. However, this is the one angle you can pitch. And again, this is the pitch that should be made to Baycott. This is the pitch that's made to Shibue. And this is the pitch that's made to Hunter Dickinson. If you stay, if you bring this team and on the body of your work, having your jersey retired in the rafters because you've been here 3 or 4 years is worth so much more in the long run.
How about 5 years from now when you're done with the NBA or the G League or whatever and you're 29 years old and you're still a young person and viable and you're going to spend all the money that you've made probably in the next 10 years of your life? How about you come back and you can coach?
Coach, you can open up a restaurant. You can do what? I mean, it's sort of like you play the NIL game 5 years after you get out.
Right. If you become a hero in the town that you're in and you don't, it's in a weird way. It's by allowing the players to be selfish, it allows them to be selfless to this town, and it's better for college sports. I think it's a good shift. We'll see what the NCAA does in terms of
you've got to get
in
someone in there who actually wants to move the thing. Like to me, I would hire someone who said we're going to a 12-team college football playoff immediately.
Nope.
Fuck what was just said by Mark Emmert. We are literally going to it immediately. That is the type of person I want in there. I can't even think of who that person would be, and I'm sure there are people who are smarter than us, who are more tapped in, who know exactly who that person should be.
I'll tell you who it's going to be, and then we'll take a break. The MyPillow guy.
Oh, no. Come on. You
Isn't
never
that
know.
His name?
Yeah. His name is Mike Pillow.
Mike
I would call him Mike Pillow. So maybe it's Mike Pillow. I have no idea. We'll see. We'll figure it out. Coming up on the other side of the break, Kyle Ayers. And then later on the show, Hi Vattel. This is View from the Cheap Seats. You're in it, guys. Stay with us.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. It is a joy to have this gentleman on. He's our Kansas City sports connection, and he's a
lot of good Kansas City comics.
He's a great comedian as well. Kyle Ayers, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
I'm the comedian from Kansas City who isn't Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah.
That's what people tell me.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
then there's also Rob Riggle,
Chris Porter.
Oh, there's a lot of them when you lift. I'm low down the totem pole.
When you lift up the Shawnee Mission South Rock, there's a ton of. No, I love it.
Blue Valley North.
Ooh. It's like, and I just like that there are very few comedians, and this is the truth. The ones that love sports really love sports in the detailed way that the other ones love comic books.
Yes.
So both things are not going to get you women in any way, shape, or
form.
No. Right? They're lonely male pursuits.
Endeavors and pursuits that happen downstairs in basements and caves.
Especially when we're talking about it when it's literally as far from the actual sport happening as possible.
True.
The draft.
But the draft always is, as we are on this weekend, is the draft when this episode drops. Thursday night, the first and second rounds? Is it the first and second rounds?
So I'm always, I think teams like, a lot of hype goes to the top teams, but their needs are so great that one guy, because it's football, it's not like basketball. In basketball, one guy can come in and make you great because it's five guys on the floor.
However, I'm going to dispute this.
I hear you and I understand you. I'm just saying, teams like Kansas City that are already pretty stacked, they can just cherry pick and be like, we need a tight end.
Yes.
We need this skilled player.
We lost Tyreek Hill, which hurts badly.
Sucks. Yeah.
But maybe they get, you know, the guy who transferred from Ohio State, the receiver who then went to Alabama.
Right. Williams. And you see they've got a team, the Chiefs, who are one of the best teams, if not like the best team the past three or four years composite, have 12 picks. They have 12 picks in the draft.
So they have tons of picks. So
that's a front office that just did it right. Like, do people in Kansas City realize
and
how
everyone
good
wants
it
to
is?
Play Pat with Pat Mahomes?
Everyone wants to. You get everyone. It what looked like a bad contract.
Everyone
that Mahomes got
Tyreek
a few
Hill.
Years ago. Tyreek Hill does
the
not.
The only
want
one who doesn't want to perform.
Unfortunately,
and it never really worked for him to do that.
It was really that was a weird morning that went from like a shot. My brother. Is like, you know, I heard Tyreek might want to get traded. And then I took a shower, and he's playing for the Miami Dolphins.
Gone.
I've never seen something. Usually it's like this Deebo Samuel situation where it's strung out over a long period
of
time.
You hear the smoke, and then you see the fire, and then that's what it is. But this was like
he was already out the door.
He was a shower away from being gone.
He is fast.
He is very, he does everything fast.
He's a speedster.
But you touched on the Pat Mahomes contract, the first $400 million.
Half a bill.
Half a bill. Mm-hmm. Can we blame Tyreek Hill leaving on Jackson Mahomes, please? I'd like to blame a lot of stuff on that. Can we give him $500 million?
It's got to be embarrassing to be a foot shorter than Jackson Mahomes and be in the NFL. He's taller than Pat. This is a tall, tall kid just doing TikToks.
Or Jackson Mahomes is embarrassing to be him and to be known for like
dancing on a memorial.
He's the only guy that like Jake and Logan Paul could be like, tone it down,
bitch. It's got to be embarrassing to be Jackson Mahomes and have done the most embarrassing thing at Washington Stadium last year. Because that team played every game there, and it was embarrassing.
That dude, somewhere Frank Stallone is like, this guy's embarrassing his brother.
This guy's hurting every sibling that's famous anywhere.
He danced so hard they tried to collapse the stadium around him.
So let's talk about it. Tyreek Hill gone. But like Jay said, you know, Pat Mahomes makes everybody good. If you have talent like, you know, that kid from Alabama. If you have talent.
Chris Olave. I mean, there are guys.
It's a lot of wide receivers.
There's a lot. This is a very deep receiver
class.
No
wide receiver will be taken before, I would say, the 12th or 13th.
Right, because it seems like 15 defensive. If you played defensive end last year in college, you get to go to the NFL this year.
You get to go to the NFL in the first round.
So it's defensive ends this year.
And linemen. Mm-hmm.
Defensive ends this year are sort of the tackles or the guards,
offensive
linemen that of the years before. And there are a lot of great offensive linemen coming out this year as well. So a lot of guys are like, a lot of teams are saying, hey, we need to protect our new quarterback or hey, we need this.
Not a lot of good
quarterbacks. Well, they saw what happened to Mahomes in the Super Bowl and then what happened to Burrow in the entirety of the playoffs.
Right.
Where you were just like, we're kind of a healthy offensive line away from it. And if you don't, you're just David Carr. You're gone in 6 or 7 years. You're just hurt. You're plagued. You know, it's tough.
It's time to drive that car off the lot. It starts to depreciate as soon as you do. Here's my question for you. Were you in the moment where Kansas City, because I thought the Kansas City-Buffalo playoff game is the best playoff game I've ever seen in my life. Best last 2 minutes of a fourth quarter. Best overtime. Well, the overtime sucked. But, I mean, the point is, not for you, but it sucked for everyone else who wasn't
viewers,
a Kansas City Chiefs fan.
For America. Who,
I mean, did you watch that and say, I kind of wish there was even more back and forth? Or you were probably just like, I'm glad we won. But, like,
but the same thing happened to you guys.
It happened to us 2 years prior against
with
the Patriots.
The Patriots.
Tom Brady
gets the
ball.
It hurts even more when it's Brady going to a Super Bowl because of it.
On your field.
On your own field. And then you try and say we should change the rule. Everyone says no. Happens a couple years later. Everyone's like, how's this rule the same?
You're like, ha.
The Chiefs owner is like, I mean, I wrote an email. Yeah. I BCC'd everybody.
I sent a very strongly worded
and the Chiefs
electronic mail.
Didn't the Chiefs have an interception and then they
D
were
Ford
offsides?
D Ford was offsides. They intercepted Brady to end the game, but D Ford, on a play where he didn't even get close to Brady, was just happened to be lined up offside. It's weird how they notice those things specifically with him playing quarterback. Because I feel like I see a guy false start or be offsides
all
half
the time.
Of plays.
All
but,
the time.
But when if it I... ends Brady's season.
I think you could call illegal motion on almost any play when you see the guard or the tackle just take a few steps back
just
before the
ball
is like
back right when it happens.
That's just like you can call pass interference on every single play.
Every play. You're like, if I want to call it, I will.
Right.
And so when they do call it, you're like, well, wait, why are you calling
it? How else do you stop it without interfering with the pass?
So Ike Taylor, we've spoken this many times. You told this story, but I'll tell it for your benefit again. Ike Taylor, who was a fantastic cover guy for the Pittsburgh Steelers for many years, he said the best quarterbacks can put it into a tiny window where you can't. You either have to interfere with the guy or hope the guy drops it. Like, that's
right.
It. And that's actually the thing that made Pat Mahomes even better to sort of one-up. He was talking about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and why they're different than, say, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's awesome, but, like, he's not the same caliber of being able to put it into
or Jimmy G.
Yeah, it's like I remember who said this to me. Jimmy Rollins said he was learning how to hit, and he's like he was learning from Mike Schmidt, just getting some hitting pointers. Mm-hmm. Mike Schmidt's like, "You got a laptop right here, like this at home." He said, "Yeah, see that square that is your screen? That's what you're looking for. Anything that goes outside of that, do not take it. If the umpire calls it, that's on him. It's not your fault. But you don't swing at anything that isn't in the laptop." And then Pedro Martinez, who was in the same room, was like, "See that laptop? 1 inch below it is where I wanted to throw it every time. It makes you think that you were going to hit it, so you top it,
right.
And it goes where I wanted it to go. You don't get all of it." But, like, again, like, that's the box that Aaron Rodgers.
But there is there's the back shoulder catch with Rodgers that you feel like is a completely automatic 12 yards
every time,
no matter what's happening. Because you can't do anything. You can interfere with the guy.
Pull him down.
Or he turns around. What, are you going to stay on behind him?
It's going to be thrown in the perfect spot every time, which is why Aaron Rodgers was, like, so upset that they just kept getting rid of the guys that would make that catch
for
him.
Really good
who
at that.
Had Jordy timing. Nelson made that catch for him every
he
time.
He doesn't. When someone's that good at that, they don't need Tyreek Hill. They need, like, 8 possession receivers, and they can just march
That's
up
and
down.
That's what Brady did for
and the
years.
Guys who know your timing, the guys who are like – so the difference with Pat Mahomes is that Pat Mahomes can extend a play long enough to where the receivers are going to either be held and it'll be obvious – or they'll break away and get free enough to where he just has to put it like
the
close.
Super Bowl win for the – can we just go back to that for a second?
I would
love
to.
I'm sure
to.
You would love to go
I would
back.
Love to. Let me look at my tattoos.
Are you still riding that high?
Yeah.
There was a moment in that game where the Chiefs are down.
Yeah.
And Pat Mahomes is on the sideline with his hands inside of his shoulder pads.
Not panicking
like
at all.
Like he's waiting to take the team picture.
It really, through that whole playoffs, down 24-0 to the Texans, come back and win.
Yep. Amazing.
Down to the Titans, come back and win.
That's right.
To a good Titans team. Down to the 49ers in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl.
Insane.
Come back and win.
But there's he was just calm.
It's like he expected it. And I guess he did. If you don't expect it, you're probably not going to be in the NFL.
So everybody, there's no player, and this is what we've learned from talking to a lot of players, thinks they're going to lose. Mm-hmm. Every player thinks, I'm going to win. Like
They're like the opposite of comics.
Right.
Comics are like, I'm going to bomb this shit here.
Almost every professional athlete has probably won almost every game until their pro. Trevor Lawrence didn't lose a game for like 13 years. Like, he didn't lose in eighth grade, high school, lost one game in college.
He's learning how to lose
And then he's, like, in the pros, and he's just like, right.
So you're Jacksonville. I mean, again, we're recording this. So let me just say that all of this will be settled by the time this episode drops.
So let's see how predictive we are.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if
– so it's time capsule. You can roll the tape and say it this way. So they think – Trayvon Walker, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's who they think – that's who is projected to go first. Now – we know he's – I mean, that Georgia team was unbelievable.
Dope.
Their defense
It's looking
was
like they might have 10 players in the NFL from one collegiate defense.
Insane?
There's only 11.
Right. I mean, and Jordan Davis might be the best of the bunch running like a 4.67 or 4.7.
380
like,
pounds.
320 pounds. The guy's
it's
huge.
Really, really wild.
So, you know, you think about like who – what can those guys be? And, you know, it's just incredible to me that, all right, they're going to take this guy and hopefully he works. But I'm hoping that happens because as Michigan fans, I want Aiden Hutchinson to go to the Lions, and the Lions are not going to screw that up.
No, they won't.
They will take if he is there. They will.
I think they're probably hoping he drops as well
because he's a culture guy.
I just think Jacksonville. What was it? Their GM had worked for the 49ers when they had Aldon Smith.
Yeah,
who was as talented of a pass rusher as I have ever seen, and I'm worst a Missouri guy. He
field.
Went there.
Yeah,
but boy, did he get into the weirdest trouble all the time.
God.
But he had 48 sacks in 50 games or something like that in his career.
He was a Mizzou guy.
Yeah, he was, and he was unstoppable in college, and also had mental health problems and issues with things like that. And but. When you play football, it's easy just to.
That's what the interview process is for.
That's kind of is, but that's but that shows you how talented he was.
When that's what I think they see with Walker is sort of like a very raw, hasn't played a ton of football compared to a lot of guys, but is just like every single thing is there. And if you can, the NFL is like simplifying a little bit with what they're in their defensive schemes. They're kind of letting these ends. You're just there to do that. They don't even care if you're a liability to the run. Honestly,
they're like stand up. You don't have to put your hand in the ground.
Yep.
Lawrence Taylor, this shit. Stand up and just go get it.
Just go get him. They're only running 11 times a game anyways.
Right.
So what does it matter
so
if you get 5 yards
right.
a carry?
So if Aiden Hutchinson goes second, I mean, do you think that kid who's the quarterback comes off the board, that kid who's
Pickett?
Yeah. You think Pickett comes off the board first?
I know so little about the quarterbacks compared to any other
draft.
So
there aren't a ton. There's the kid from Pitt.
There's Matt Corral. Mm-hmm. And there's Matt Corral.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kenny Pickett, Matt Corral. Those are two, I think, solid. I would put them at like – and Kenny Pickett could be good. You don't know who he's going to be.
Yeah.
But like – I put them at like Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, they're not Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You talk about the draft in football not being able to. You're never going to have an offensive tackle be the guy that changes everything for your franchise. Whereas this is what I love about the NFL. Cincinnati, 3 years ago, look where they were. And
the draft equalizes everything. That's why college.
They really do a good job with
it. So right now, college sucks because like. One or two teams drafts the first 25 guys.
Yeah, no, imagine if two teams had the first 18 picks, and then the rest of the teams got to smatter everything together.
You'd look like Georgia with 10 guys going from
everyone complains about the playoff and the same teams going there. Well, it's going to be. It's going to be because they're going to recruit them.
So NIL, and I talked about it. NIL is – doing what it's supposed to do a little bit.
It's keeping some guys who are borderline, maybe great college athletes. You look about the Tebows of this world.
Yeah.
Like Tim Tebow, perfect guy. He's so mad that he didn't get
come
up in NIL.
He would have retired before the NFL.
I mean, can you imagine the amount of right-to-life money he would have made in college?
Chase Daniel, who's had a great backup career in the NFL, he was like the Mizzou savior, took him to number one in the country out of nowhere.
Right.
This is the kind of player who could make like generationally changing stuff from this that just missed it.
$1 million a year as a college kid.
Or 400, 500,000, or $2 million over the course of a college career.
And think about the trouble you could probably avoid.
Number one, or get into.
Or get into.
It's
a lot of
hookers.
If I had $500,000 in college, I probably wouldn't be here right now.
If we had $500,000 in college, that would have been the worst thing in the world to give us $500,000 in college because.
I was the hanger on friend, so I don't know what I would have done. I didn't have these people in my life.
You would have paid for other people to hang on to you.
You would have started a comedy club.
Could I put 500 grand? Into a two-door Chevy Cavalier with a sorority sticker in the back window.
You would have tried to make it silly and dumb.
You're like, wait, he's put $400,000 in this car, and yet the passenger door is still a different color paint than the rest of the
right.
car.
And it's not even kind of orange.
Replace the plastic bag that's the window. But I agree with Jay. I think like what gets sort of swept under the rug or not talked about are those late first round, early second round pickups because no running back is going to go in the first round.
Right.
So the best running backs in college football are at the end of the first round, beginning of the second round. So literally the first round right now is just for defensive linemen, edge rushers,
offensive
safeties,
linemen.
And cornerbacks. Offensive linemen and maybe a quarterback.
It's basically just the evolution of the quarterback is what the game is built around.
Yeah.
And you can't touch anyone. I mean, you know, it is what it is, but it's like, okay, quarterback, most important position. What's second most important position? We have to knock the quarterback over. What's third most
kicker.
Important position? Who
oh,
does
I'm
he
sorry,
throw
no.
to?
Yeah.
And then after that, who guards the guy he's throwing to?
That's right.
And then, you know, then in the trenches, it's just, it's really just the evolution into pass. And running backs are much, there's never going to, I don't know if there'll ever be Saquon Barkley pick, fourth overall or something like that?
I mean,
and that was is incredible when healthy.
When healthy he is, and he's like that. So
I think there's a running back at Ohio State right now who in 2 years.
Travion Henderson.
Could be a top 15 type of.
Easily.
Yes.
Easily.
Okay.
The guy's fast. He can catch passes out of the backfield. He can do a lot of different things. And that's the type of guy that if you get him.
I mean, but look at a guy like Najee Harris.
Yeah.
Like, he's done a lot for Pittsburgh
already. Jonathan Taylor.
But Najee Harris was not picked. How early was he picked?
I don't know how he picked, but
like Chase Claypool was picked ahead of
Jonathan Taylor, you can argue, has made them a playoff team.
The Chiefs picked Clyde Edwards-Helaire over Jonathan Taylor. Clyde was the only first-round running back in that draft, last pick of the first round.
Jonathan Taylor-Thomas?
Jonathan Taylor-Thomas went to the Eagles.
Could have gone to the Lion Kings.
That's absolutely right. The Lions.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But he was trying to help him with some home improvement by going up
the
line. It is just all big change. But you look at... So, specifically, if we think about the Chiefs, they haven't drafted incredibly. Last year, they had a great draft.
Yeah.
They had a great draft last year. They got Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith out of the first round. Creed Humphrey's the best center in the league. They got him out of the first round.
Amazing.
They rebuilt the line. But before that, they had struggled in the early rounds of the draft. Aside from Mahomes in 2017, didn't have a first-round pick for a couple years, but they had a lot of busts.
Yeah.
You're able to cover that up when you get Travis Kelce in the late round.
That's right.
Tyreek Hill. Then you look back at that draft, you're like, that's a great draft. You're like, well, no one's on the team anymore except one guy.
Right.
All it takes is one guy to hit well, and then that draft
retroactively,
gets labeled a good
draft. Especially
good
in a later round.
So, you know, we know some guy. Obviously, there's a running back from Michigan who's coming out of Michigan, Hassan Haskins, who is not on anyone's board,
but and could be the type of running back if selected by Buffalo in the third round. That is like becomes your third down guy where like Josh Allen, you save him a little bit so he's not running the ball so much, but you get this guy
tons of yards after contact.
Right? Like, he's like you're third and two and you need this to salt the game
right, and
away.
Right now Buffalo is just we let this our billion-dollar guy run.
Right.
Yeah. And they can't be doing that for 10 years.
So imagine they shore things up that way, and they're going to do it in the third round. That's why, to me, the draft is so fascinating because a lot of these
first couple rounds don't matter sometimes as much.
There are players that go in the first round that
but
if
a lot
you're
of,
not
yeah.
a deep NFL guy who knows, like, the lineman from Idaho State.
Right.
Like, and the regular person doesn't know that. Like, you don't give a crap about
there's
the
a center, Linderbaum or someone like that.
He's from Iowa.
Yeah, it is always wild when someone's like, this is a generational center. How much better does he snap? Does he snap it like faster?
He moves guys off.
He just moves good
after. Get off is good. Yeah. His pad level is low.
Well,
his bend is deep.
What am I talking about?
He signals the defense. He can signal the coverages.
High IQ.
So Michigan had a center that went to New Orleans, Cesar Ruiz, who was just a generational guy.
Yeah.
And he just was that guy.
I'm always blown away when I feel like it's overthought so often. We're like, well, this guy was incredible in college, put up all these stats. Does he have the measurables? Like Nick Bolton, who went to Missouri, the Chiefs draft in the second round last year. Everyone's like, is he fast enough? He was like the SEC linebacker of the year. Led the SEC in tackles.
Yeah.
The SEC.
Dude,
and
Michael
then people
Sam.
Are like, can it translate to the NFL? Well, he led all teams in tackles for a loss last year. Yes, because I think they overthink it sometimes, where they're just like, does he have the measurables?
Going the other way.
Michael Sam. He was the SEC defensive player of the year, and we couldn't get a shot. I think they overthink the measurables sometimes. I think you miss on that, where you're like, this guy was incredible in college all the time at the thing that you want him to be good at.
He can probably do it. He's got a nose for it, or his skills are good. He may not run the 40 in a time that is blazing and under thing. However, his quickness, his smarts about the angle he takes cuts out, you know, changes a 40 that a regular guy runs who maybe doesn't take.
That's like a guy like Kenneth Walker III.
Yeah.
That running back is someone who a team should pick up. Why?
But Jonathan Taylor is interesting, and I will say this about in recent past. Again, we're not ashamed to say this as Michigan fans. The Bosa brothers are unbelievable in what they've done for the Chargers and for San Francisco, what they've done for those defenses. They've changed those defenses in ways that are like – they're just monsters, both of those guys.
I think the fallout from it people always don't think about either. Bosa, and specifically the Chargers Bosa, is so good that whole division has adjusted how its offensive line plays.
Mm-hmm.
And the teams in the division have to spend a bunch of money on an offensive line
where
they can't spend a bunch of money in other locations.
That's right.
So it's a lot like Mahomes going to the Chiefs. all the other teams in the division had to start taking shots at Bosa using these. Everything had to adjust. That's and you're right. just building around what you need to beat twice a year in these teams. And the whole but the Bosas are so good. They are so good that a whole game plan has to be. You can't do what you want to do. You have to do what you can.
You have to just change the game.
Yeah.
Change it. Like there are very few positions that can actually change the flow of the game.
I think it is why Aaron Donald is such an anomaly, because he's the only player at that position since Sapp, probably, where you have to change your game plan around the middle of the field.
And Dominican Sue, maybe.
Sue had a couple of years in there when he wasn't standing on people.
You usually don't get the pass rush up the middle. You're right. It's usually an edge guy that comes in and is wreaking havoc, but up the middle changes everything. It collapses the pocket. It makes guys have to get out.
Yeah.
Vince Wilfork.
Butch Wilfork is a great name, though. That's a porn name.
He was a running back.
That is a porn name if I've ever heard one. Butch Wilfork.
Butch Wilfork.
And Jenna Jameson starring in the middle. In halfback pass.
In like a draft fall, the Chiefs got Chris Jones in the second round 1 year, who is the second or third best defensive tackle in the league. And he dropped because during his 40, he fell and his dick fell out. I don't know if you remember that happening.
Yes.
He literally was running the 40, and he fell, and his junk came all of the way out. And then he goes, I'll keep that time. So he had like an 18-second 40.
Wow. And he had a 19-inch.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's, look, if it played well for him.
It did. Like, even Lenny Kravitz was like, whoa. Put it back. Even Lenny Kravitz is like, check your fly, bro.
Whoa, bro.
Are you going to fly my way? So I really do think the draft is fun for teams because
hope. It's the moment of hope.
When you get your needs, it's like the way you feel after you draft your team on Fantasy Night, if you don't auto-draft and they're like, why did I get eight, like,
eight running backs
and wide receivers, and I have the worst quarterback ever. But I do think the quarterback and the generational talent, because you're like, well, who's winning Super Bowls? Who's out there? Who's doing it? Well, I mean, Matt Stafford is a fantastic quarterback.
Yeah.
But that team was really good. Joe Burrow took his team there. Who are the quarterbacks?
Yeah, Mahomes, Brady,
Tom Brady,
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Jimmy G is like putting a wrench into the entire thing. Is that the floor?
And Ryan Tannehill. Those two guys are very similar.
All you need if you're going to be Ryan Tannehill is to have the only great running back. Like, just to have a running back who is and then the second he doesn't, the team is doing it.
The other running back they had that fills in.
He was also good.
He's really good, too. It tells you how great that line is. But, I mean, that's it. You have to have a dynamic, generational-type quarterback to carry you through. Otherwise,
especially consistently.
Otherwise, you're not going to do it. It's almost like in basketball. You have to have a guy. We're in the NBA playoffs right now. You need a guy who will, when it's time, step up and just start hitting everything.
I think the Pistons were the last team to win a championship without an all-pro player.
That's right.
And that was 2006 or 2007 or something like that. Somewhere in there. That's Tayshaun been a
Prince.
While. Right. Now, retroactively, we're like, oh, Prince and Chauncey were good. Like, yeah, but they weren't the greatest players in the league.
No,
they were beating the fake super team of the Lakers.
Rasheed Wallace,
Tayshaun, Chauncey.
Yeah, those teams were in Rip Hamilton.
And
those
what was that team doing 2 years later? Fighting fans.
Right. Those teams
should.
They should. Those teams are. So, but that type of a team just doesn't win. Like, you get to the point you're like, well, why didn't Brooklyn beat Boston? Why did they get swept? Just insanely swept. And you're like, well, because. They don't have a guy that is
Marcus Smart. They don't have Marcus Smart.
Right.
And they don't have Durant.
Just laid an egg.
I think that if you rank the players on these teams and like what you would think, it's like Durant's probably the best player on either team. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, well, then aside from Kyrie when he's there, the Celtics have like 2 through 11 for the next best players, and that's what's going to win.
What would you rather
and Tatum
have?
Tatum is a superstar. And so he can take over when he needs to.
And those kids do well in the playoffs. Like they rise when the chips are down. Jaylen Brown, man, that kid. Marcus Smart. Those guys, and I love the mentality of that team. They still, in my opinion, have Brad Stevens' mentality, that team, not to like veer off into basketball, but it's exciting. You just need a guy, just like in the NFL, you need a guy to make those plays when you need to make plays. When Tampa Bay came back on the Rams last year, you're like, after being down for so much of the game, you're like, oh my God, this is it. This is how it goes down, and this is how it happens. And Matt Stafford was like, no.
I think that was as important for his legacy as the actual Super Bowl itself.
Agreed, yes.
He's like one of the few guys to not fold to Brady and the giant comeback.
Well, it changed the narrative of who this dude was. And you say to yourself, oh, yeah, he was in Detroit for a long time. He was in a terrible franchise. He had nobody to like.
No, but he now has, it's almost like the Elway narrative, which a lot of people forget the word, the book on Elway was
he was Greg
get
Norman.
You there, but he can't. Yeah. But he can't win the big one. He cannot close when you need him to close. And in a game, and Stafford was never even in the big game, but in the moment when his team was tested, when the defense couldn't stop anyone,
he needed to make the plays, play. And he did.
He didn't just need to run the clock out. He didn't just need to do a drive. Right. He needed to make a giant play, and he did it.
He really changed how a lot of people thought of him from stat padding to you realize all those years he was actually just dragging his team back into remotely close games.
They're
when
like
they were
mediocre
terrible.
Things.
Like he's not really
guy.
Stat padding. They're down 30-0 because that's how bad his team was.
Right, and he needed to throw them.
Yeah.
All right, briefly, let's talk a little bit of baseball because, you know, what's amazing to me, I was thinking about it. I'm like, okay, in the last 6 years, Kansas, or five or 7 years, eight years, Kansas City has two World Series appearances and two
Super Bowl appearances.
Two wins total.
Yeah.
That is, for a small market team, small market city, that's incredible.
And the Royals have two wins in the regular season since then.
Oh, wait a minute. Hang on a second. That can't be true.
They're taking their time. They're finally exciting again. Yeah, it has been, you know, 2014, 2015, make a World Series. And people
go to Game 7
and
almost win.
The Cubs winning the World Series in 2016 made people forget the Cinderella that was the Royals, which
that's
is
an
fine
amazing story.
Because the Cubs were the most it was the saddest thing of all time.
The Royals had 85 that they stole from the Cardinals, but whatever.
Yeah. he was safe if you don't watch a replay.
Sure, yeah.
And so 2014, they won every playoff game until the World Series.
Yeah.
They won the It was the first year they did the wild card, and they came back from down 7-2 on Oakland to win an extra innings.
That was the most unbelievable.
Craziest game of all time.
And didn't they win a game to get into the
wild
card?
That was the play. Oh, no, no. Oh, they did. They won a division
game
to make it into the wild card.
And that was a crazy game.
Yeah. That was a crazy game. Because I remember, because that was the year, was that the, no, that was 2 years after all those teams and the card, 3 years after the Cardinals won. But like, yeah, that was so insane. And I remember that year and the next year, it was like, if the Royals got you to the seventh inning and you were losing,
couldn't score,
lights out. It was a seventh inning pitcher, eighth inning pitcher, ninth inning pitcher, lights out.
It went from some point towards the end of 2014 to through the World Series where they blew a single save from the seventh inning, not from the ninth inning, in a safe situation where because it was Greg Holland and Wade Davis, yeah, and they were just you just couldn't get a hit. You just couldn't get a hit off them.
These guys were so good, and it like what you realize is it becomes a rhythm thing where it's just like, all right, here comes seventh inning. These guys know that, like when I feel like baseball players are like dogs. When they know their role and know what they're supposed to do, they're the happiest.
Oh, for
when
sure.
When it's like, what am I doing here? Am I starting today? Am I middle relieving today? What am I doing?
What do you need from me?
Especially pitching because it's so mental. No one's doubting like the physical ability these guys have and everything. I think that – and then that kind of shifted what baseball did with closers. You look at closers now, there's openers, there's middlers, it's not – not everyone's Scherzer going 8 or 9 innings every game.
And not everyone's a closer.
Right.
So those two ends of the spectrum are covered, and everyone kind of has that. But, like, the value in the guy that gives you the seventh inning.
The value in the guy that keeps it close and gets you out of the jam and keeps it close. Like, that never shows up.
Now, the good news is for the Royals, and you guys will know about this, is now they have Matheny, and he doesn't know what that means. He is unsure what the bullpen does.
Oh, my
God.
Well, he believes in God.
That's why I think,
He puts his faith in Jesus.
And the Royals are not allowed to watch porn. That's like in because their old owner was also a big God guy. Their general manager was a huge God guy. And
there's a whole porn site about that.
It's crazy that Matheny could drive from St. Louis to Kansas City on I-70 and not see porn. It's only billboards
about porn.
80 miles to the Lions Den.
Missouri.
70 miles to the Lions Den.
The porn corridor.
It really is.
You know how they say America runs on Duncan, Missouri runs on porn.
It really does.
It really does. But you know, it's. It is really interesting. Bob Costas said something this past week where he was quoted as saying, like, pitchers are throwing so hard. They're literally throwing
Let's
their
do
arms
this
out.
And we'll take a break.
Throwing their arms out in a way, and the shift and pitching, the way it's so specialized and the way guys are just throwing their arms out. First of all, they're hurting themselves in the career. You look at Jacob deGrom, he hasn't had a full season.
Yeah, I mean, it all started. Lincecum was a guy going absolutely nuts who was like an unhittable thing. And then
and
a
then
year
threw
later
his arm
was,
out, dead arm. And they're all fidriching, but they're throwing so hard that it's like really hard for hitters to hit. And so you're going to just see
either guys get a hold of one and they hit it out, or you're going to see some really bad low scoring
games. I think they were saying this is the lowest batting average baseball has had since like 1890 this far into the anytime they're just like, this is the worst thing since like Flabber McLefty. And you're just like, well, this is okay. Well, then
dead
we shouldn't
ball
be doing this.
Era.
Last time they were this bad, there were feathers in the baseball.
There weren't even
so
fences.
You know my fix.
Just a bunch of guys standing
you're
in the
right.
outfield.
You know my fix for baseball. Every team should take the drunkest person in the stadium, the woman who fell into the fountain in
the
Kauffman Stadium.
Yes.
That get that person out on the field.
They have to play right field.
One inning, or put them wherever you want to put
them. Wherever you want
to
put
them. If you want to do the shift, the person shifting has
no
to be
shift.
A fan.
No shift. No shift. No shift. They got to be out somewhere.
If you, no, but he's right. If you decide,
if you
to,
decide
shift,
to use the
you
shift,
you got to bring her down.
The only person who's allowed on both sides of the infield is section 302, row 8,
as
seat
drunk
four.
As she is.
Drunk as she is.
Get her in there. All right, let's take a break. Kyle Ayers is with us. It's so fun to talk the draft. It's really exciting. I hope you're going to watch this weekend. Watching the late rounds, it's super fun. And then we'll talk about stuff that he's got going on, plus where you can catch us live. All of that on the other side of the break. This is View from the Cheap Seats. Hey guys, welcome back to View from the Cheap Seats. We got Kyle Ayers with us. Before we get into what he's doing, we should let you guys know we are going to be in Portland for one night only,
May 12th. It's
at
a Thursday
Helium.
Night.
Let's sell that show out, guys. It's
one
Portland.
Night, one show.
We should be able to sell this show out. I'd love to. And then the next two nights, we're in Seattle. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday at the Crocodile. We'll put the ticket links up on our website, supersclars.com. You can get them through there. But let's sell these out. We want to perform. We love our hour that we're doing right now. It's going to be a blast. We feel like you guys will enjoy it too. So that is happening. Get your tickets for that. And our Patreon, it's patreon.com/Sklar Brothers. New episodes of Cheap Seats, Cheaper Seats. And we are working on, I showed Kyle just a tiny little clip of our UFC
it
show.
It looks so funny.
Off air of the Nosebleeds, which is
so
basically
funny.
A Cheap Seats reboot that's coming out this summer.
Great name.
I'm thank so you. Excited about
ever,
it.
When you landed on the name, were you like, ah, oh, that is freaking
well, like, we
that
got it.
That is it.
That
was it. It sounds real.
The Nosebleeds. So there we've been involved in many shows where we're like, we don't have the title for
right.
months and months and months. This one came right away,
yeah.
and we're like, this is it. It's yeah. the Nosebleeds for the UFC on UFC Fight Pass. It'll be out
and
this
I think
summer.
Randy and I both think that we individually, like, I think I came up with it, and I think mm-hmm. he thinks he came
so
up
we both were arguing with about that. Kyle Ayers, you are involved in so many amazing things. I think about great projects that you've done in the past. For
yeah.
example, the Boast Rattle, which
yes.
is the roast battle, but you do it nicely.
Compliment contest.
Compliment
contest.
Viciously.
Yeah, viciously. You can listen to it on SiriusXM.
I
if
do.
If you have SiriusXM, it's on there.
I hope they're paying you, goddammit.
A little bit.
Okay.
A little tiny bit.
So where,
but that's all right.
Where yeah. can people then support you, pick up stuff that you're doing, comedy albums,
yeah, KyleAyers.com. My album Happiness came out. I guess a year and a couple months ago.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, it was great.
Pandemic.
And you can go check that out. And I got a podcast called Never Seen It, where
so
comedians
good.
Rewrite movies they've never
we
seen.
We have to do it. I know yes. we've talked about doing it. We've just been slammed, but it's...
You know, in the same vein of like Murderville, it kind of reminds me a little
really?
Bit. It's like an adjacent cousin to Murderville.
Yeah, if you like Drunk History, if you like Murderville,
it's
things
great.
Like that.
It falls in that
people
great
are
category.
Just making up what they think something probably is.
Like if I've never seen, what's the Nancy, what's her name?
Nancy Myers.
Nancy, like a Nancy Myers movie. Me explaining what I think a Nancy
yeah,
Myers movie
exactly.
would be is just exactly what
yeah.
it is.
Right.
Well, you know, when I try to explain it to someone, I say like, it's complicated.
Hey, folks.
Come on.
Should we jump into some quick hits with Kyle
run
Ayers?
Some quick let's hits with Kyle Ayers. This is, let's get the quick hits music going. And we'll hit these stories because a lot has been happening in the world of sports.
So right. I didn't even know the Chicago Bears had wide receivers. Did you?
I think they
do.
Had one last year, but he left.
They have like a Jewish guy.
Wide
Tariq
receiver.
Cohen.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know the Cohens.
You know the Cohens. And the son, Tariq, is playing for the Chicago Bears.
Is he really? You should give Tariq a call and tell him what good restaurants are in Bucktown.
Chicago Bears wide receiver.
The Jewish mother who's telling you to reach out to Tariq Cohen.
Reach out to Tariq.
The Cohens called, and
you've
Tariq
gotta
is
take
playing
him on
for
Milwaukee
the Bears.
Boulevard.
Just have him over
right.
for Shabbos.
It says where the stadium is based on the address. You know Lakeshore Drive?
Right over
familiar
there.
Familiar with Grant Park. That's
the
where
soldier, do you know where the bean is?
Is Tariq still working near downtown?
He's over there by Printer's Row.
It's very he's doing very well.
This is the New York relative talking.
Did
about
he finish Chicago. School?
I don't know if he finished school, but I know he has a very nice apartment.
Very nice apartment.
It is a
how many
very,
roommates?
It's very
very
roomy.
Nice.
I don't even know if he has roommates.
So I don't know they
have. Have you heard of Navy Pier?
That's right. How expensive Chicago is. Tariq Cohen has two roommates. That, one's like we're at the Annoyance Theater.
Yeah,
he's doing shows. He'll be at Lincoln Hall. All right.
Be at the Lincoln Lodge. All right, Chicago Bears wide receiver Byron Pringle, not
former
Brian,
Chief.
Byron Pringle was reportedly arrested for reckless driving and driving on a suspended license in Florida on Saturday. If you're in Florida, I guess you got
to
do
wish
it.
Wish I waited to say former chief until I heard what the story
yeah.
was.
Yeah. Police said that Pringle was spinning in tight circles or doing donuts. Like, if you're the police, you should know what doing donuts are, right? Like, that,
yeah.
We know what doing
we know what
donuts
that is.
Like, if
humans
they just said doing donuts, everyone would
everyone
know.
Would know what
you
it was.
You didn't have to do say
just because his name's Pringle doesn't mean they're going to confuse it for food.
Right. Right. I mean, in his 2016 Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat on a public road. So, if you're doing it in a Walmart parking lot or a Burlington Coat Factory.
Two in the morning.
Who cares?
Yeah, that's all right.
On a public road, there was a male adult in his passenger seat and a male child in his back seat.
That's
you
bad.
Can't be doing donuts
that's
with a male
news.
Child. In the backseat, are you trying to impress your son?
You know what's crazy is he has enough money where there's got to be just outside of Chicago a track where you can go drive a race car with
rent
the kid
it.
Put into the seat properly.
That's right.
And go even crazier.
That's what race car drivers are essentially in car seats.
Yeah,
that's
they
what
are.
They are. Okay,
that's why they cry so much.
Well, they also piss themselves while they're in there.
For yeah, I, was, I do while I'm watching.
If I was Byron Pringle, I would say, listen, my name is Byron Pringle, and once I pop, I can't stop.
Just can't stop.
According to TMZ, Pringle was taken into custody at the Pasco County Jail at 6:15 p.m. This is when
Whoa,
we're doing
wow,
this.
Wow, 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 wow. You Guys, can't be doing donuts when it's light outside.
No, right?
That's like eating sushi for breakfast.
I know.
I mean, you can't
do it. It's legal.
You can.
Well, this isn't, but.
Police said that he was uncooperative and verbally confrontational. If you are being picked up for doing donuts in the middle of the day with a child in the backseat, you better cooperate.
You better be cooperative.
I think it's fun to picture him being like, I'm a professional athlete. And they're like, Cubs? He's like, no. They're like, White Sox? He's like, no. They're like, Bulls? He's like, no.
No.
Bears.
You're coming, yeah, with,
coming
us.
With us.
Come get down here.
We're not here to cause no trouble. We're so, just here to do some donuts.
So hey, you do are here.
Because
that's
yeah,
a
because it's a double negative. You are here to cause some trouble.
Pringle is 28, signed a one-year deal, $6 million with $4 million guaranteed for the Bears. I think that's too much guaranteed.
This
don't
feels
you?
A lot like when LeBron would get guys contracts on his team. There's like, I don't know if it's, but Larry Bird, when he was the GM, or the coach of the Pacers, wouldn't sign anybody off of a LeBron team because he said he made them look better than they
That's
actually
it,
are.
Man.
I think Byron Pringle might be riding some Mahomes money here.
67 receptions and 7 touchdowns in 46 games, but, you know. I think we're
That's
now seeing who the real
catches a game.
We're the real right, the real Byron Pringle is. All right. Secondly, now there is a point at which you should stop going to a certain restaurant. Like the first time they turn away a former Atlanta Hawk legend and NBA Hall of Famer Dominique Williams Wilkins. Remember when we did this story? Dominique Wilkins was apparently not dressed nice enough
for a nice restaurant in Atlanta.
In Atlanta?
Yeah.
Whatever Dominique Wilkins is wearing in Atlanta is the dress code.
Dude, he could have a ball hanging out of a pair of Umbros and it'd be like, look, you're the human highlight film. I got
it.
We want to sit at the bar.
You don't turn the human highlight film
you
away.
You want to sit up at the
He's
bar?
So good at dunking, people remember, and it's when Jordan did dunk contests.
That's
he
right.
He should have beaten Jordan a couple times. That's how stacked it was against him.
Atlanta Falcons star Grady Jarrett said he was denied service at an Atlanta restaurant over the way he was dressed on Wednesday. The Pro Bowl defensive end said the restaurant misread his attire. Now, in an Instagram post, he noted that he was about to have dinner in Buckhead at a restaurant called La Bilboquette. I want to say La Bibliothèque, but it's La Bilboquette, Atlanta, La Bilboquette, which just last year found itself in a controversy over a similar incident where Atlanta Hawks legend Dominique Wilkins, you got to apologize, was turned away as well. Wilkins said that he felt the treatment of the had a whiff of racism.
A whiff.
Just a hint. And that was like more of a foam of racism.
Yeah.
A racism foam with just a little bit of hatred reduction.
I've generally found that most enforcement of dress codes to the T of kicking someone out has a whiff of racism in
right.
it.
Right.
I agree.
So Jared said, I like to dress up. I like to look good. He told 11 Alive News. 11 Alive News.
11 Alive
You know
news?
The 11 Alive News team. They're ready to rock at all
times. That sounds like people always reporting right after a shooting.
I'm going to say there is racism because I have a photo inside of La Bilbo Quet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, Richie Incognito is the GM of the...
Yeah, isn't that weird? Mike Pouncey David is the doorman. Anyway, so he was... You keep
a lot of dudes in khakis and sweaters.
So I dressed up, and I was looking good. Jared said he was wearing a $7,000 tailor-made casual Gucci garment. All right, so
if it's sweatpants...
When he was evicted from the restaurant. Evicted?
Evicted?
Did they set him? Did they put a notice on his table?
Dude, where are you going, man? I got the pink slip.
Evicted is
I got the pink slip on my dessert
plate.
He described his unhappiness with the treatment in a post. I was taken aback for real, he said.
I understand.
He told Action 11 Alive News. I want to tell 11 Alive News all my shit.
11 Alive News.
On Instagram, he showed off his attire from a bright green Gucci suit. A suit. Offshore watch.
Someone, she said, have I got a little news for you? I'm still alive. 11 News. I'm still alive. 11 News.
Iced double tennis chain with ink. He then followed by noting the apparent dress for other patrons who he said were simply wearing Nike sweatsuits and t-shirts. They can be slightly seen in the photo in the background. That's the thing.
If you're going to let these people, you got to let this guy.
But also, like,
and also we're
this should be all over the Yelp reviews for this restaurant.
It probably is.
And we just survived a pandemic. You, as a place of business, cannot stand on principle for anything anymore.
Right.
You got to say yes to everyone.
Or you make him put on a sport coat.
I would like to see. How about if you're going to enforce your dress code and kick someone out, let me look up your PPP loan history
and
see if anything was forgiven. Oh, $500,000 was forgiven?
You, as soon as you kick someone out, you got to open the books.
Maybe let the guy with the diamond necklace sit down and eat.
Thank you.
His money is just as good as everyone else's.
Honestly, probably better.
Yeah.
Because he might post a picture there.
Or like Vince Young, he might spend $33,000. Right. Didn't leave
Hopefully
his cell
that's all
there.
He has in common with Vince Young's NFL career.
Amen. I saw Vince Young's steakhouse in Austin. We walked right by it. Yeah. It was near it, and it's like that's where you go when you want to leave your
was
cell
Was he working
phone.
As the host?
That's right. He was really nice. He parked our car. All right, listen, don't mess with Mike Tyson. That's one way.
Way ahead of you.
Oh,
I haven't been messing with him for years.
If you stopped.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know if this is the best idea. I don't think he knows I'm joking. That's just a way to live your life. Even if you've never met Tyson, right. Don't mess with him.
Yeah.
Or fly a plane with him. Just don't go after him. On a JetBlue, why is he flying JetBlue?
No, I think JetBlue Mint has JetBlue Mint.
Yeah,
class.
It was like a first class seat.
It was a
there
mint
were plastic
situation.
Things up
yeah.
in between.
Well,
he was
Francisco
in a pod.
Okay, Townsend. Townsend, a fan of Tyson's, reportedly harassed it. If you're a fan of Tyson... Why are you harassing this
Leave
guy?
Him alone,
right?
If you're a fan of Tyson, you know he also suffers from
depression,
a little bit of mental illness.
Yeah. You could get him going. He's got an anger streak. If you're a fan, truly a fan of
you
his.
Know that his best friend for years was a pigeon.
Plus, they just got rid of the mask mandate, so he might bite your ear.
Thank
like,
you.
They just took those off of
they
planes.
They took away
this
the layer that is...
That's one of your last lines of defense against Tyson was just removed.
As soon as you see the mask off, you can see the full extent
of
the eye tattoo and the face tattoo. It's like, that should be your deterrent every time.
So he just yelled at Tyson, right? Is that what he did? No. Townsend threw a water bottle at Tyson. That's all bets are off at that point, right? You throw a bottle at someone. This isn't the Oscars. You can't just throw stuff at people.
But at least his friend was also filming it.
Yes. Good friend who was egging him on. Leading Iron Mike to repeatedly punch Townsend in the head, Townsend denies throwing anything at Tyson. Oh, my God. Joe Rogan stepped in and added that fans need to learn that celebrities are people. We've always said this.
Yeah.
If you and people at games do this.
I'm like, you can't cross the line.
Don't say or do to someone what you wouldn't say or do.
And this is what Rogan said, and I have to agree with this, what Rogan said. If you find yourself where Mike Tyson is reaching over the back of an airline seat and punching you in the face, you probably earned it.
Yeah, what made me happiest about this story, besides the immediate justice, was most people were like, yeah, I see why he did it.
Right?
Most people, no one was like, why would Mike Tyson, he's strong, he shouldn't, he's like,
no.
We've kind of evolved to where people, I don't know, people were like, well, yeah, that guy deserved to get punched.
He got pushed.
And it's
got
nice
pushed.
Because sometimes people... If only the guy punching you had once said, very famously, everyone has a plan till they get punched in the face.
That's
if only that guy was known for saying that.
That's right. All I'm going to say about this is you can go on a plane and ask for extra pillows.
Why? You can ask. I forgot. Why egg on the most famous punching person ever?
Sure. Why egg on the guy who has a video game with his name in it and the words
punch
out?
Punching.
Punch out. You can ask for extra pillows, you can ask for an extra blanket, and you can ask for a knuckle sandwich. And that's what this guy got. Served right up to his chair.
Yeah.
Oh, it's up there with the, who was that, Jordan? I can't remember the guy's name who got punched in the face. This is like up there for the me watching a guy get punched in the face video.
It was contactless payment. Full contact payment. Full contact return right on your investment right there. All right, guys. That was it. For our Patreon fans, we have an extra story for you. It involves a statue of Baker Mayfield that doesn't look like a statue of Baker Mayfield.
We'll get into that. That's a special Patreon thing. When we come back from the break on this show, we have a voicemail from Dick Vitale.
Not Dick Vitale. Dick Vitale rang the bell that he beat cancer.
This is Vitale,
and he's got a lot to say. This is View from the Cheap Seats. He's Kyle Ayers. Thank you for joining us
Thanks
on the show.
Me.
Dude, you're the best. We'll be right back with more after this. Kyle Ayers, baby.
Unbelievable. Oh my
God. The free-flowing conversation and just how easy it is to talk to that guy just makes me so happy. You know who else it is easy to listen to?
Hi, Vitale.
I love it every time he calls and he left us a voicemail.
Are you serious?
Check it out, baby.
Oh, well, if it isn't the Squad Buddies. Oh, the Mirror Men. They look at each other. They look in the mirror. Oh, what's going on, fellas? Joel Pal, Dickie V. I'm doing great, baby. Dickie V is alive. You saw me ringing a bell. You saw me ringing a bell, fellas. Cancer never stood a chance. They came out playing 2-3 zone against me, against Dickie V. I'm shooting from too far. I'm way outside. Cancer goes down. Boom, baby. I'm still alive. Dipsy-doo, dunkaroo. I'm dipping and diving, fellas. Thank you for the flowers. I appreciate it. Happy birthday, fellas. Happy birthday. Oh, I love the flowers. I love the flowers. Had a little bulb on the end, fellas. Not too bad. Fell into my tea. I drank it. I gotta tell you, I'm seeing rainbows now, baby. I'm in the prism. I'm reflected light of a million particles all together, all as one. I can't be stopped. I'm here and there in all the different realms. You wanna come visit me? See me in the purple apartment, fellas. I love ya. Me and Coach K, we're taking it easy for the summer. We're going out to the Black Rock Desert. Oh, the kids are great out there. Come see us, fellas. We got an RV. We're pitching a tent. We're going to be living in a yurt. Come say hi, baby. You'll see me. I'll be painting up my whole body. I love you, fellas. Squaw buddies.
He makes me happy. Rang the bell, baby.
Rang that.
Healthy and ready to rock.
Ring that bell. Enjoy it all the way down. And he makes good points.
Enjoy the draft or what's left of it. I hope by the time this drops, whatever team you root for, you have hope.
Yeah, you got some of the guys that might inspire you in the future. Remember to boo Goodell every chance you get. Just enjoy it over the weekend. Punch a waterfall. And we will see you guys next week. And also, get your tickets for Portland, Oregon on May 12th, Helium Comedy Club. One show, I want to sell it out. And then two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. In Seattle at the Crocodile. Can't wait to see you guys there. Punch a waterfall. We are out.
Star Bands Audio, a podcast network.